I just want to read from Philippians chapter 2 from verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Wow. Can you imagine God humbled himself, dwell in the womb of Mariah, God the Almighty, take off his splendor, his might, born as a baby, couldn't speak. He had to change the diapers. You can hold him, you can kiss him on the cheek. God became man. I like to dance with my daughter. I like to sing with my daughter. If I hold her and dance and put some praise music, I start to say lovely things against her. But it was God, you know? Joseph and Mariah. Have you ever considered that God limited himself because Jesus couldn't be at several places at the same time when he was in the flesh and blood, Son of Man, but also Son of God. Wow. Jesus said, if you exalt yourself, you will be humbled. If you humble yourself, you will be exalted. So he just lays down his splendor, his mighty, and became man. So everything you've been through, he knows it. He knows everything because he went through. Also in Gethsemane, which means all of press, that the pressure came upon him because in front he saw the cross, but after the front he saw you and I, the fruits of his death. So he became man. Wow. Son of David, son of man, son of Abraham, son of God, son of Adam. All these names have specific meanings. If I was a Pharisee and I lived in the times of Jesus and I studied the scriptures, the Hebrew scriptures, I think I would go nuts. You know why? Because more than 350 prophecies of Jesus are mentioned in the scriptures. And you can divide them in the Son of Man, the suffering servant, first coming 2,000 years ago, and his second coming, Son of David, the king, because he will come back. Maybe within a minute, maybe within an hour, 3 months, 10 years, who knows? So we are to prepare ourselves and be just like him, serving. You know, before the crucifixion and the resurrection, he said to be like him, to serve people. But afterwards, when Peter got fishing, he was baking offshore some bread and some fish. Also surfing, still surfing. We are to serve. That's what I saw for the last couple of weeks. And the meals were so overwhelming for us. Son of Man and Son of God. Let us read further. In verse 9, therefore God also had highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the time of Jesus every knee should bow of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you remember David and Goliath? The man facing the giant that came twice a day for 40 days or 80 times. He was cursing the people of Israel. He was cursing the God of Israel. He can do things. He can do two things, you know. Be paralyzed by his manipulating words or act like David. But it's said in 1 Samuel that he had his bronze in place. It could not bend his knees. But there was a lot of pride in this man. It was a tank. But one sling, one shot between his eyes, and he fell flat on his face. You know, every tongue will confess that the God of Israel is still the God, that Jesus Christ is the Lord. Amen? Amen. So, you know, if there are giants in your own life, just face it, just like David did, you know? He just thought, okay, God, he is cursing, not me, it's a spiritual battle, Ephesians 6, it's a spiritual, Lord, so just invite him into the battle and just confront him because he was running towards him. You know, the guy was 3 meters and 50 centimeters. It was a giant, so if he missed, he felt in the arms of the devil himself. There he was running towards him. That's the mentality, you know? We have to face the giants. We have to overcome, knowing that one man did it on the cross. And he left this for us. We need this every day. Amen? That's why we have to study the scriptures, Philippians. We need this every day. Amen? He is the Son of Man, and he is the Son of David, the Son of God. And you know what? We win. If you read in Revelation, we win. Amen? We are an army of God. Amen?
Amen.
So we win. Okay? Bless you. I will invite Praveen to continue with the message.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. So I'd like to start by reading the portion. Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 and 12 to 18. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. Now verses 12 to 18. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and arguing, so that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, in which you shine like stars in the world. It is by your holding fast to the word of life that I can boast on the day of Christ that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me. Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us all together today, Lord. Give us the wisdom to discern your word, Lord. Let every word that comes off my tongue be only to glorify your name, to make your name holy, Lord. Bless this message and give us all the wisdom, Lord, to understand what you want us to understand today, Lord. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Great. So when I was given the opportunity to speak, I was asked, can someone lead the sermon this week? I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Sounds like a very Christian thing to do. Yeah, no, yeah, I will go, send me. But then I thought, okay, why do I do it? Because I love speaking in front of people. Yeah. So then I thought, is it all about me? Is it because I'm happy speaking in front of people? Is that why I'm coming and speaking up here? And that made me remember a time when I was not happy speaking in front of people. It happened, I struggled with my faith for quite some time. It was only by the middle of 2015 that I made a decision that no, this is not me. This person that I'd become was not me. I needed God back in my life. And then again, it was a hard process of going back to God, so searching for God again. And towards the beginning of this year, I was still not there. I was still, prayer was hard for me. Reading the Bible was hard for me. But I had this opportunity to teach at Vacation Bible School. For those of you who don't know what it is, it's basically a week where you have kids, they have vacations, so they come and you have classes for them the whole day. So I had classes from 8 to 5, and there were teachers who would take classes for them, but I was responsible for having one main story and message for the day, and songs and games for the kids. So I had to do that. So this opportunity came and I was like, okay, I'll go for it. Then I thought, okay, I'm not truly a believer yet. I mean, I'm still shaky with my faith. But I said, okay, maybe this is how God will bring me to my faith. Great. So I go to this place called Manipal. Manipal is kind of like Maastricht because it is built around this one university. It's a small town that's built around this one university. My university is the only thing in Manipal. Right? So all the people in the church were professors, doctors, and some people who worked around there. And there were their children. So there were 30 children in total. There were 30 children in the VBS. And out of those 30 children, there were 10 children from the age group of 2 to 4. That is any teacher's nightmare. Okay, you have like 2 to 4, kids from 2 to 4, and then you have kids from 8 to 15. That's a nightmare. You don't know what to do. Right? So, but I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm totally fine. I always speak in front. I've worked with kids. It's for in church. It's okay. It's perfect. I'll be great. And so I went up there. I went up the first day. And I was like, hi, kids. How are you? And they're all, oh, yeah, hi. How are you? And all this. And I have two kids running around me. One kid pulling my pant. Another one trying to push down my laptop. I'm like, wait. This is not supposed to be happening. You sit there. You sit there. Okay, and then I'm looking at the kids behind. Okay, forget them. Kids behind, look at me. Let's talk. And all of them are like, yeah, whatever. They're all on their phones. Busy. I was destroyed. I was down. I went back that day and I cried. I don't know for how long I cried. I was like, God, I don't know what came over me. This is not me. Let it be for you. And I just wept. I thought of all the times that God had led me and all the times that He had been with me. And I don't know for how long I cried, but by the end of it, there was this peace. It was calm. I was like, okay, let's see what happens now. So the next day again, 7 o'clock, I get ready, I go, 8 o'clock, the kids come. It's morning, so the kids take some time to get to full energy. So they're like, all just, you know, so sleepy. We have the singing session. Then the same thing happens. I still don't have a concrete plan of what to do. So the same thing happens. Again, the kids are running around me. One is pulling my pant, one is trying to push my guitar down. And things are happening. It's going mad all around me. Suddenly, I have an idea. I'm telling a story. And so I take these small children and I put them up as characters in the story. I'm like, okay, this is this person, this is this person. And I start telling the story like that. And all the kids behind, they're like amazed, what is happening? All the small kids are just happy to be in front and to be of use. And then we had this thing where we had a train, where I needed a train in the story. So I make a train with the kids and I'm going around the church where the kids are behind me, like a train. Part of me is shocked. It's like, this is not in the script. This is not what he's supposed to be doing. What are you doing? I'm shocked. But the other part of me is just happy. It's truly happy. It's just, I don't know what's come over me. I don't know what I'm doing, but I was just happy. Really happy. And I threw out all the plans I'd made till then. I threw out all of it. And then I just said, okay, I'm just going to do God's work. God with you in prayer, with everything. I'm going to be with you. And for the rest of the VBS, I averaged like 2 to 3 hours of sleep. But I was happy beyond my wildest dreams. I was really happy just working. I didn't get much sleep for the rest of the VBS, but it was great. I didn't even think at any moment that, oh no, this is bad, I need to sleep. It is amazing. And well, we shared this topic. We were talking about this topic in our study group. And someone in my study group came up with a nice example to illustrate this concept. Can we have it on the slide, please? And that concept is joy. Jesus first, others, then you. That's it. I found joy when I put Jesus first. Then I started thinking about others. Jesus enabled me to think of others. And then I put myself as well. You can't forget yourself. I'm not saying put others in front of you always, but what you should do is put Jesus in front of everything. And He will guide you. He will help you find joy in serving others before yourself. But now the question is, there are many parts of the Bible that talk about this. You should be humble. You should put others in front of yourself. There are many parts. What's so special about Philippians chapter 2? Why do you have to look here? In Romans, I just checked it up today morning. Romans, Ephesians, Proverbs, all of them talk about do not be conceited and be humble in front of God. What's so special about this portion? Well, that comes from verses 1 to 2. In verse 1 and 2, Paul tells you the reason why you should be humble in front of others. The reason is very simple. Because if you have ever felt love, if you have ever felt happiness, if you've ever felt compassion, sympathy, if you've ever felt any of this because of the fact that you are a Christian, remember that you feel that because someone before you, a Christian before you, shared their joy, their compassion, their love with you. And so you have a responsibility, as a Christian now who's experienced that, you have a responsibility to that person and to God to share your love, your compassion with everyone around you, to help others feel the same joy that you felt when, because you're a Christian. You have the same responsibility. That's the reason why you should be humble and serve others. Serve God first and serve others as God would guide you. That's the reason. So now I would call the band to come up and lead us in song. And as they sing that, let us all remember what Paul reminds us in verses 12 to 13. I'm going to read that. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. God expects us to expect our work on our own salvation. Spend this time, read the Bible, think about it, reflect on it. I'm sure you've all got the scripture. Yeah? So read that, think about it, reflect on it, and feel the same joy that Paul has when he writes verses 17 and 18, which says, but even if I'm being poured out as a libation over the sacrifice and the offering of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with all of you. And in the same way, you also must be glad and rejoice with me.